Hey everybody, you're listening to Table Talks with New Directions, the Domestic Violence Shelter and Rape Crisis Center of Knox County. We hope that listening to this podcast gives you an inside look into the world of domestic and sexual violence. Throughout these episodes, you will hear from advocates, preventionists, community partners, and even from survivors themselves. Thanks for tuning in.
My name is Corey Jones. I'm a motivational speaker and author and illustrator of my very own comic book, How to Shoot a Basketball. I've been playing basketball my entire life, and after basketball, I got into improv comedy in Columbus, Ohio, and turned to motivational speaking. And I've traveled all over the country over the past 8 or 9 years. I've done close to 1,000 assemblies and performances in my lifetime. And most importantly, I am a father of 3 and a husband.
Awesome. That is a lot of assemblies.
That's a lot. Yes.
lots of people.
I think like 35 states, 34 states.
Wow.
Some are better than others. They're all
well, I remember at our AIM event, you were like, I drove all the way from Ohio to be here. I'm like, I wonder all the places that he's been. But so I was doing a little research on your website before we reached out to you and scheduled this podcast. And I actually saw that you did improv comedy. And I was like, That is so cool. Like, so can you tell me a little bit about how that experience kind of molded or I guess transitioned into motivational speaking?
This is like life-changing moment. And you don't know at the time. This was like a moment. And it was Christmas in a one-bedroom apartment with my then-girlfriend, now wife. And I got her gifts. And we didn't have a lot of money. I got as much as I could to get her gift. And she got me a box, a small box. Nothing shaking, nothing much. I opened up, and it was a piece of paper. And it was a piece of paper that said, you've been signed up for improv comedy class.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, thanks. That is not my style. My whole high school adolescent ages was a hoodie all over my head, and she said, this is going to be good for you. You can go do this. So one Sunday, for 10 straight Sundays, I met with a prop instructor named Jeff Gage, who's awesome, and there was about 10 or 12 students at the, Funny Bowl.
Yes.
So it was there. And it was cool. It was like Sunday, all the bar stools were up. It was just like the stage and just practice and taught us improv. And the students ranged from actors to teachers or anybody who just wanted to just get out and do something. Mm-hmm. And the reward was after 10 weeks, you get to do a live show.
That is awesome. I try to put myself in a situation where someone would give me that as a gift. I don't know that I would be as receptive as you were to that experience.
I wasn't at first. I would tell you, I was wow. But what happened was my uncle, Jim Basketball Jones, who was a motivational speaker in the assemblies, if I've done 800, he's probably done 5,000.
Wow, goodness.
He spoke at my third grade, when I was in third grade. Everyone in my family, to their credit, came to that show. So what happened was I did good enough, fun, and it was a great experience. We all celebrated. 2 weeks later, my uncle called me and told me that he booked a show. And I go, what's the big deal? He's like, well, because I'm going to be in Michigan on April 7th. And he's like, do you want to do it? And I go, yeah, let's do it. And if you're good, they'll pay you. If not, don't worry about it, they won't pay you. But it's a good shot. Give it a shot. It's 500 kids. It's in 3 weeks or 2 weeks. And I did it. Super nervous, out of my comfort zone, 500 kids, 45 minutes. I studied everything that my uncle did, taught me and learned from him, and that started my career.
That's amazing. And the rest, it just goes to show, the rest is history.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
When you are doing your different speaking engagements, what is kind of, do you have kind of a primary goal or a primary outcome you want those participating to leave with? Or does it kind of depend on the group, depend on the environment that you're in?
There's always one goal, and the first goal is always to entertain. Mm-hmm. And they might say that and go, well, you're a speaker, you've got to give a great message. I go, you can have the best message possible you can. You can have a New York Times best-selling message in your hands, but if you deliver it to a group of an audience and they're not entertained, they will tune you out. Mm-hmm. So you have to be somewhat entertained in the way you deliver your message. And I just have a lot of dudes. Be be creative, be kind, be respectful, be responsible, be safe. You can do these things. That's just positive influence, positive reinforcement. You're ultimately going to not be able to. So
yeah.
I just try to have a positive atmosphere where they need to have.
And I think reframing is such an important thing. I mean, I think if you think about it, kids, youth, are told probably all day what they should not do.
Sure, yeah.
Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't talk to people like that. And so I think that by framing your speaking in do this, mm-hmm. I mean, it's positive. You might be one of the only people that are telling them all these things they should be doing instead of all the things they shouldn't be doing. And I mean, I even remember at, you know, when you came and spoke to our high schoolers, instead of proving everybody that doubts you wrong, prove everybody that believes in you right. And I mean, even something like that, I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, what a simple change, but honestly, completely transforms the overall, I think, reason why we do some of the things that we do. So, I mean, that for sure stuck out to me.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how it felt to high school, middle school students. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. In your experience, how have you seen in how boys respond and deal with adversity compared to everybody else?
When it comes to young boys, I'm raising a 7-year-old now. It's embarrassing. They have this idea that perfection is the way. And any kind of fault or any kind of mistake they make is bad. And that's not truly the case at all. And it's really, as a parent, as a coach, and maybe as teachers throughout the whole world, I think we need to focus on mistakes or giving your best effort but having a mistake or a misstep. It's actually a good thing. It's a Pixar book, and one of the founders at Catmull wrote it. And one of their mantras is this, like, hurry up and fail. And what it means is you just go out there, you try, you give your best. Well, the sooner you get to failure, or sooner you get to your setback, the sooner you get to your mistakes, the sooner we're going to get better. The sooner it's going to get better and better and better. But the young kids, I mean, they're all media embarrassment. And if you think about it, I'm raising a 1-year-old right now who walks and falls all the time. Mm-hmm. But she laughs it off, and she gets up and walks again, and she's going to learn how to walk a lot quicker because she's not embarrassed by it. You took a 7th grade girl who got dressed up and she fell at the middle of the study hall, she would be embarrassed. And I would probably be embarrassed.
Yeah.
The difference between a 1-year-old and a 7th grader is the 1-year-old doesn't know what embarrassment is. She laughs it off. Mm-hmm. So the longer we can stave off that embarrassment, the more we grow and faster we learn. And I think there's research out there that you learn more your first 2 years of your life than you do almost the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of just adversity and being able not being very, you know, Brooklyn doesn't know what failure is. Brooklyn is my first time 1-year-old. She doesn't understand what that is. She just knows do, which is more important than doing.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, if you think about it, failure, I mean, just like you're saying, failure is how we grow, right? I mean, like a 1-year-old learning to walk. If you're not going to fall, you're never going to learn to get back up and keep on trying until you become successful in whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. So
I feel like life almost is a game of trial and error. Like what's going to work? What am I going to end up getting? Like, where am I going to be successful? If I don't fail, I don't know where I can do better in. I feel like I always tried my best not to like focus on my failures, but I feel like as an adult, it's almost like, and I can't even imagine how I was in high school or middle school. If as an adult, I look at my failures, I'm like, oh, dang, like I didn't do enough, which that might not be the case. Yeah. That might've been my first step into becoming that successful, that being successful in that area.
So kind of the reason, I know we talked about this briefly when we did our initial Zoom with you, but in November, we really focus on promoting men's health and men's wellness. November is also considered, it's called Movember. There's like this whole story, if you look it up, these two men in Australia, they like created this whole campaign and this whole movement for men's wellness. But when you think about the term wellness, What does that mean to you? What does it mean to be well?
I think it means to be happy. Mm-hmm. And that could be, I mean, there's a whole lot. This, for me personally, wellness and happiness is being in physically good condition, good health. So that if you're working out your body, you're working out your thing, because for me to be mentally healthy and ready for the day, I have to get up and activate my body just right away. And that's something that I've learned throughout the course of past playing in my adulthood, that I know that's important to me. And I find that physical health really leads to mental health, that leads to all these things. So, for instance, if I could start off my day in a good physical movement, whatever it be, it could be yoga, it could be a Peloton bike ride, it could be a workout, a lifting session, that leads to me getting a good book in the morning with my breakfast, and then leads into playing with my kids before they go to school, it leads to all these momentum of a great day, as opposed to skipping all that, waking up at 8 o'clock, playing catch up throughout the day, and then I'm not having time to do that stuff. So if I can do those things, I find that to be a pretty strong advocate of wellness. Mm-hmm. Another big thing for me is I'm very routine oriented, and I've read something and learned something that not all successful people have the exact same routine, but successful people do have a routine. Mm-hmm. And they do something every day or most of the day to keep them in order, to keep them progressing throughout their journey. So I find it's important for anybody to have any kind of strong health, mental wellness, to figure out what their routine is, figure out what's important to them, and stick to that so they can be on that right path in their journey through getting to whatever it is, the person who they want to be. And there's no end goal of that. I try to avoid goals because there's an ending when you have a goal. I think just to the person who you want to be and reflect is what you're working towards. Mm-hmm. Whether that be a better reader, writer, a more creative, active, better father, mother, all those things, your decisions you make throughout the day should lead to the person who you want to be. So if you can focus on that, and there's no end game in that. So you're always striving every day to get something to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. I also, when you were saying that, like, consistency in like your schedule or, you know, your routine oriented, that sort of thing, I also kind of was thinking about what you had said about failure as well, is we may have the intent to stick to this routine, but then what if we fall off? But that's okay. I mean, consistency is just about kind of getting back in it and trying to, you know, push forward and push through, even if we fall off a little bit.
I saw this, people think resiliency or toughness is being on this high all the time. Mm-hmm. And resilience is getting on that low, which no matter who you are, you're going to experience it. Whatever that setback may be, resilience is getting the bad. That's the resilience. It's not, we live, and I'm not big on the social media stuff, but we live in our adolescence are watching and following people online, they're following these people's lives, and all they're seeing are the top things. That's all they're posting, because this is not a high, why post it? Mm-hmm. Or on the flip side, they're only seeing these lows. Mm-hmm. If you scroll through your feed, you're seeing the best of everything, or you're going to see the worst of everything. And I think there's a lot of meat, there's a lot of life. This life's here, and this is not life, and that's not life either. You know, these are just moments. And
exactly.
People are thinking these are moments, so that leads to mentally where they think they should be living. And they think this is more possible too, but right here in that middle of being consistent is where your life is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think that is a part of the reason why social media tends to have such a negative impact on youth. I mean, our primary role is going into the schools and talking to youth, and we talk about social media, and almost every single time we talk about it, they are in agreeance that social media is more negative than it is positive.
And I think that sometimes that can have an effect on our, maybe our perception of reality, but also our mental health, bullying, suicide. Why is it important when we're hoping to like engage with boys and men to talk about these topics, or do program related to mental health, bullying, or suicide and violence? I know you said you share a little bit about bullying and do focus on the positive, like make sure you're doing this, but why is it important to have that programming with boys and men?
It's important because it's a realistic. It's there. The facts show throughout this country, throughout this world, that those things you mentioned is happening. So to deny that it's happening or not talk about it is not productive. Mm-hmm. I think you should get in the forefront of it earlier. There is probably an age where you shouldn't talk about it, but that starts to say that age, and it's happening in your middle schools and high schools, unfortunately, and it should be addressed. And it's important for kids to just know about it, understand that that's realistic, and those things are there, and they can learn about it, make their own opinions about it, and go back and forth and learn and have their failures with learning and understanding it, and so forth. So it is very important. I would never deny it. I like, for my kids, raising them, I want them to know what's going on so they can make their voice their own opinion and they can learn about it and I can teach them what they need to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Because you also can't support or you can't teach if you're not aware that struggle is there.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, and then if you can open up that healthy dialogue, then it's good. They understand that.
Yeah.
I didn't talk much when I was in middle school, high school, my parents about everything. And sooner you can understand, they can get through those moments, they realize this isn't so bad. It's okay to talk about it. It's fine.
Yeah.
You could be talking with your parents is okay.
For sure. I wish we normalized talking to our helpful adults more.
Yeah.
It's so hard, you know. I can only imagine what goes through a youth's head when they consider bringing some of these things to an adult. Are they going to judge me? Are they going to, you know, tell me just to get over it? I know there's already kind of a perception with boys, like, grow up, like, dust yourself off, like, get back in there, right? It's really not that big of a deal. So, you know, just kind of being there and being that support when that's needed, I think is important. So
to add to that, and I learned to open up and talk more. Well, my son is 5, I was 33, so that, I wish I could have learned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But for those that don't know, my son Hudson is 5, and he was born with spinal muscular atrophy, lower extremity dominance. He's wheelchair bound. He has low muscle tone throughout his lower half of his body. And while my wife and I, as we go through our journey with Hudson, about a year into his life, we just realized having open dialogue is just better. No, there's no topic, no thought or moment that we had in our head throughout this journey that we couldn't talk about. And there's bad things that maybe we might, the pressing of bad things that we might have in our head that I'm out just open up to say, hey, I got something happened to me today, and it's not great, but I want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
It's a moment, there's going to be a beginning, there's going to be a middle, there's an end of it, and it's going to be done. It's not going to define my day or define us, but and we've shared almost everything.
Yeah.
And it could be as simple as I saw two boys playing in the playground, and I have two boys, and my two boys don't play like those two boys do, so I'm like, happy down that day. Now, it's not every day I see that I get down, but that one day I was down, and I'll tell my wife that day. That's what happened. And she's like, okay, cool, how'd you feel? And we move on. And you get on. So I just can't explain how what Hudson has taught me in my life, making it better. Early 30s, how important it is just to talk about it. Even if it's the worst things we can think of, we still kind of just get out there and just say it and express it.
Yeah. That open dialogue is so important. And I mean, if you think about, you know, all these things that you might be feeling, if you made the choice to not vocalize that, not put that out there, what's that doing inside you? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's probably causing internal unrest beyond belief. So.
Yeah.
Even if it's hard, having those hard conversations, I mean, I feel like I just can't say it enough. It's just so, so, so important for, I feel like, physical wellness, but also mental and emotional wellness of yourself, but also the people that are around you as well.
And those people that care about you, I think, is like the biggest thing. Like you said, your wife, you know, whatever you bring to her, she's going to listen to and accept. And I feel like I had that in my parents growing up, and I have that in my husband now. So finding those people that no matter what you bring to them, they're going to love you through it and not be like, oh, you're making a big deal about this. Like saying, okay, let's talk about it. Like, obviously you're having that unrest. Like, let's sit down and talk about it rather than just brushing it off as you'll be okay.
Right.
Push through.
So switching gears a little bit, to like, things, activities being outlets for maybe some of those difficult emotions. We know you're a sports guy, obviously.
Yeah.
So how do you think basketball or any other sports can generally serve as an outlet for primarily men and boys?
Right. Any kind of sport activity that you can be involved with other people, especially sports. So I'll stick to strictly basketball. You mentioned trial and error is great for persons development. No matter how good you are at basketball, and I've had a pretty successful career in my sport, especially with the teams that I've been on, you're going to have wins and losses no matter what. And learning how to win is a good thing to learn, and learning how to lose is even more important.
Yes.
Going through those highs and lows, and no matter, I was on a team, a high school team that went 27, and to tell you that it was not all even this. You know, you've got your highs and your lows, and talk about resiliency is getting back up to being consistent. Learning how to deal with those emotions transferable to adulthood and anything parts of your life. So those, first and foremost, that is most important. Mm-hmm. Number two with it is your skill development. So learning how to learn a new skill is very, very important. Yeah. Again, it's transferable to adulthood. Transfer to me, when I see someone who's really good at shooting a basketball, there's a lot of discipline that goes into that, a lot of hours, a lot of misses, a lot of makes, a lot of coaching that needs to be involved. If you can learn how to successfully, consistently shoot the basketball, I always find that they're disciplined. I see that player, I know they're disciplined. I bet you they can do other things as well. Or like, at least they have the ability to learn how to do other things as well. Mm-hmm. And that's how I've been able to draw pretty quickly, because I use the skills that took me to learn how to shoot a basketball, and I just applied those exact same things to drawing. And I saw all those improvements on my highs and lows, took my coaching. So again, learning how to learn is a great skill. Yeah. Great skill to have. And third, just the relationships you get to build is incredible.
I mean, I think that, you know, when I hear you speak in here, when I heard you speak previously, I mean, just everything you talk about, honestly, I feel is so empowering to, regardless of someone's gender. I mean, it's such empowering messaging that I think can be applied, like you said, to all these different areas of life, which is such a cool thing. I mean, I think of sports and like teamwork. Mm-hmm. Teamwork is something that's going to translate all throughout life, in your personal life, in your professional life. So that's outside of sports as well. So I think you're absolutely right that those general messages in sports very quickly go outside of the sport environment as well. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of want to take this time to thank you for, one, taking the time out of your day to sit down and talk to us. I know you're busy and all that stuff, so we really do appreciate it. But kind of on the greater scale, I just want to thank you for the messages that you put out into the world. You know, we value them. I know our students valued them, mm-hmm. and I can imagine the greater nation values them as well. So I'm a believer that we need more messaging like you deliver. So I just want to take this time to thank you for your time and just everything that you do. It's very important and it's very valued. So thank you so much again, Corey. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you. You as well.
All right.
Thanks for tuning in.